I know I feel that myself, but I want to give you a word of encouragement. Because in the midst of feeling a bit weary myself, God has really spoken to me last week about his nature, his character, who he is. And I want to bring this to you as a word of encouragement. I want to bring this to each one of us here this morning to be re-energized in who Jesus Christ is. Ecclesiastes says this, "The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong." Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And so this morning we are part of the witnesses of heaven who are declaring who Jesus is, but together we are a group of witnesses in the same space. And I really want to encourage each one of us here this morning to be encouragers of each other, to lift each other up, to get each other back on that road together. And then let us fix our eyes on Jesus, which is the most important thing that we do, who is the perfecter of our faith, and for the joy set before him endured the cross. And he was one who endured such opposition, but he did not grow weary and lose heart. So I want to pray that for you and me this morning. So what is God looking for in his people? In Psalm 18 it says this, "To the faithful you show yourself faithful." And as I was reading it, I was just reminded that God honors the faithful. And faithful is doing the right thing before God, regardless of the pressure to conform to the norm. It's doing what's right before God. It's doing what's right in his presence. Mike Pilavar actually brought out a book called For the Audience of One, worshipping the one and only with everything that you do. And so we're here as a group, as a community, but we're here to please Jesus. We're here having an audience before him in everything that we do. And God calls us to be faithful under pressure, doing the right thing before God, even if you are misunderstood or whatever. And being faithful before God often is like swimming against the current. This is an encouraging verse, isn't it? "Consider the pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." And that's pointed out this morning, isn't it? About the Lord releasing joy again in our lives. Because the promise is, it's a great promise, isn't it? We will face many trials. So if it's a promise, I guess we're going to face many trials. But consider it pure joy. Why? Because God is faithful. Because he shows himself faithful to those who are faithful. It's the gym of life that we become strong in the Lord. It's when we go through difficult times, difficult circumstances, the Lord refines us and builds us in his image. Because that's how we become strong in the Lord. Also, be aware that we are part of a spiritual battle. It says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering." So we're encouraged to be self-controlled and alert, being aware that we're in a spiritual battle, not to give in to temptation. We're told to stand firm in our faith, to stand firm upon the rock in which we believe through Jesus Christ. And the encouragement is that we're all in the same boat. We're all going through difficult times. And last week I was invited to a leaders' conference in the UK. It was a collection of people who are either plant churches, hearts of people who seek to bring God's kingdom in various locations of the world. The kind of places that people are planting churches in this particular meeting were, a guy called Dan was planting a church, and guess where? Afghanistan. He's been there 7 years, and on the day before we left, I hugged him and said, "I hope to see you again." But here's a wonderful man, what God was doing with him. There's guys in America from Jacksonville, Charlotte. Guy from Auckland is the church that Rob was there a couple of years ago. People from Germany, from London, from places in the UK, from Exeter, Harrow, Chorley Wood, from Dublin. And people were reporting back of what God was doing in their particular situation. And guess what? They're going through the same difficulties, the same struggles, the same joys, as they are participating with God, establishing his kingdom upon the earth. It's so encouraging. I thought I was going to go there thinking, I just can't wait to hear all their stories. But I realized I was part of the same story as you are part of the same story. In struggle, in difficulty, in joy, fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He builds the church and we follow him. This quote I love is from Teddy Roosevelt. It says this: "It is not the critic who counts, not the one who points out how the strong man stumbled or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotion, and spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place will never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat." And so the encouragement this morning is this: and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. God has a purpose and plan for each one of us here, and for those who love God in all things, he works for our good according to his purpose. Should sit down off that one, really, shouldn't I? Isn't that amazing? In all things, he works for our good according to his purpose. And we've got to realize that the words are coming from this passionate, burning love for his sons and daughters. It's like my passionate love for my son. There you go. So with Jesus, our destination is certain. It says in John 14 that he's prepared a place for those who love him. It goes on to say that Jesus has provided the way and the truth and the life in order for us to join with him. But the journey, the only thing we don't know about the journey is it's uncertain, isn't it? And the journey we enter on with Jesus is by faith and trust. Joshua 3 says, "You have not walked this way before." It's a place of total trust. The next step is in his hands. Our response is, will we take it? We don't understand necessarily where it's going, but we know what Jesus is like because he works for good for those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. So if you turn with me briefly to Daniel. Daniel was a person who trusted God. He went through all sorts of difficulties, trials, but he did not blame God or complain, but he chose to honor him. We can find ourselves in situations, it's easy finding problems, it's easy showing everybody how it should be done, but with God, he's looking for those who are faithful in those difficult and challenging times. He's not looking for the moaners or complainers. He's looking for those who will honor him. And as Daniel honored God, God showed Daniel his faithfulness. Because to the faithful, God shows his faithfulness. And the beginning of chapter 6, Belshazzar had been in power, and Darius and Mede had become king, and the way they normally transfer leadership is by killing each other. So there's no... unfortunately for poor Belshazzar, he was killed by Darius, and Darius was beginning to build his team. And like a new manager of a football club, Darius the king was looking for the best players from the old team, but also bringing in the new. His team included 120 satraps, which were basically governors who would administrate his kingdom. He then chose three administrators who would oversee the governors in order to administrate his kingdom. And because Daniel had such great favor already within the government that he took over, his exceptional qualities stood out to such an extent that Darius wanted to put Daniel over all his empire. And as we see, this didn't go down too well with the other people. Never heard that one before, have you? And this caused great opposition among all those who were serving in Darius's court. They were jealous of Daniel and wanted to find a way to discredit him. And they tried everything to smear his reputation, but they could find no charge against him. And unlike them, he was not corrupt or negligent, but he was trustworthy. It's a bit like Jesus standing before the courts, isn't it? They could not find anything to charge him. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. And so they're very, very upset about Daniel. So it says this. So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, O King Darius, live forever. A little bit of flattery. The royal administrators, the prefects, the satraps, the advisors, and the governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce a decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 40 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. And so they were flattering the king, they're manipulating their purpose in order to take Daniel out of the game. And I just think that the king was quite delighted to have a group of people united together. And so he probably thought, gosh, they're agreeing on something for once. And so he probably got lost his compass and kind of enjoyed the flattery and didn't really realize the implications of what he was saying. And then it goes on to say, out of this, the king agreed with them to issue a decree in accordance with the laws and the Medes of Persia that no one for 30 days should worship anyone else other than King Darius himself. This was put in writing to make it legally binding. And what was Daniel's response to this situation? He continued to honor God. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. And so he continued to do what he always did before God, in an audience of one. He went into his room, he opened the windows and faced out towards Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day. He knelt down on his knees. And the first thing he prayed was this. He gave thanks to God. Isn't that the most amazing prayer? You see that very, very, when you read Daniel, he's continually thanking the Lord. When God has delivered him great victory, you always see at the end of it a wonderful hymn of praise to God, articulating the faithfulness of who God is. And then after he prayed and thanked God for who he was, he then asked for help. It's a wonderful priority, isn't it? He didn't ask for help and then say, thank you, God, for who you are. He said, I thank you, God, for who you are. I worship you. Now can you help me? He got his priorities right. And so the satraps were quick as they were, watching Daniel, trying to catch him out. And before he knew it, they were standing before the king, letting them know of what Daniel had been up to. And because the decree had been made, it was legally binding, the king was obliged to fulfill the expectation of that particular document. And so, unfortunately, the king, it says this in verse 16, so the king gave the orders, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God whom you serve continually rescue you. And so the king had to fulfill the orders in which he had quickly put his name to and had been tricked by the satraps. And so Daniel was now sitting in the lion's den. And it says in the story that God sent angels to protect Daniel during the night. But while he was in there, the king couldn't sleep all night. And he was in his chambers or whatever, and he was going back and forward, you know, really worried about losing Daniel, because obviously Daniel was an incredible example, someone who was that he wanted in his court, someone he really valued, someone that he really honored. And then it goes on to say, it says at the first light of dawn, this is after the king had been up all night, it said, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then the king Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, may you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Paul says this, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that a God may count you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ. So shall we stand and let's access that kingdom that Daniel accessed this morning. And let's stand and be reminded that we're in the presence of the living God. And let's be reminded that we can come as we are. The race is not to the swift or to the strong. Sometimes it's just a matter of standing there, and sometimes we're just crawling along, and that's fine. We come as we are into God's presence. But I believe this morning that God wants to encourage